All right, we are live and recording. Thank you.
All right, good morning. This is Dawn Russell, SRC Chair. I call this SRC to BESBE meeting to order at 10:08 a.m. via Zoom and call-in number. Today is December 22nd, 2021. The first thing on the agenda is welcomes and introductions. When I call your name, please state that you're present and who or what you represent. And please, if I pronounce your name incorrectly, please, please correct me so I learn how to pronounce your name correctly. Okay. Is Gary Allen here?
Yes.
Please state who you're representing.
Council.
All right, thank you, Gary. Brandy Altergott? Brandy Altergott? Okay, we're going to move on. Scott Becker?
Present, representing Chris Radio.
Thank you, Scott. Jay Brown? Jay Brown, Frank Bunomo, is Frank here? Okay. John Carnamolo?
Present, representing BESBE client.
And how did I do on your last name?
Spot on.
All right, thank you. William DeMayo? William DeMayo? Lucretia Jones? Lucretia Jones. Frank Los Cuadro.
Present.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear who you're representing.
Esquire.
Thank you, Frank. Philip McGalnick.
Present, SRC council member.
Thank you, Phil.
Sorry, I'm late.
We're glad you're here. Thank you. John McNichol?
Present. BESBE client.
Thank you, John. Deb Reed?
I'm here, and I'm representing the National Federation of the Blind of Connecticut.
Thank you, Deb. Beth Reel? Beth Reel. Dennis Regan. Dennis Regan. Nicole Rico Serrano.
Like that?
Nicole Rico Serrano. Kendra Valente.
Hi, Kendra's here from the Hartford, representing as a parent of a person who cannot represent themselves, who's blind, or has multiple disabilities.
Thank you, Kendra. Ineda Mendoza.
Hi, good morning, both rehab counselor for the blind.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Mary Burgard.
Hi, Mary Burgard, Vocational Rehabilitation Supervisor at BESBE.
We have our Commissioner Amy Porter here, who's going to be here for just the first part of the meeting, and then she has other business she has to attend to. If we have any questions for Amy, she can answer them during our public comment
morning. Thank you.
Thank you for being here, Amy.
And we do have a quorum officially, so from my cap, so we're good.
Lucretia's here?
No, but other people signed on, so
okay.
Now we have 10. Yep.
Is there anyone else present for our record?
My name is Andrew Norton. I'm the legislative liaison for aging and disability, and but I also work intimately with the BSBE staff, including VR.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Marianne Melly, and I'm the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Connecticut.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So Zach Moore, VR secretary, taking the minutes.
Good morning. Okay, so everybody has stated that they're here, I think. All right, we're gonna move on. We're going to move on to public comments. Is there anyone here who would like to make a public comment? Does anyone have any questions for our Commissioner Amy Porter?
This is Deb Reed from the NFB of Connecticut. I just want to make sure, Dawn, that my question is appropriate. So the questions for Commissioner Porter, good morning, should be solely related to Voc Rehab, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, very good. Thank you. I have no questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Is there anybody else that has questions for Amy? All right, we're going to move on. Next item on the agenda is old business. And we're going to review and approval of minutes from our September 22nd, 2021 meeting. Everyone was emailed a copy of the minutes from our last meeting. Does anyone have changes that need to be made to the minutes from our last meeting? Okay. Do I have a motion to accept the meeting minutes as they are?
So moved. Philip.
Who was that made the motion?
Phil McGillivray.
Okay. And do I have a second?
I second the motion, Dawn.
Kendra. I think Kendra came in first. I heard Scott too, but I think Kendra was first.
Yep.
Okay. All in favor to accept the minutes, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. Any abstain? Motion passes. Next item on the agenda is work group reports. Is Lucretia here for our membership report? Do we want to wait to see if she comes
on? She is trying to. We have actually two members having issues with the phone today. I do have another number. I have another cell phone. I can call in with somebody else. But yeah, everybody's having an issue. It's something with the number today, I guess.
Okay. The passcode.
Yeah, it must be the passcode. You know, correct. So. Oh wait, there. I think this might be. Hello, did somebody just sign on? Okay. Now, why don't we me go to the Finance Committee, and then I'll see if I can try to get Lucretia on. Otherwise, I could do her report for her.
Okay, so we have Scott with the Finance Report.
Morning, everyone. These amounts are paid since October 1. We made the final payment to Connecticut State University. That's for the 2021 Consumer Satisfaction Survey. That was in the amount of $7,000. We also paid CCSU $12,000, and that's for the initial payment for the 2022 survey. And we paid $180 for Dawn to attend the November conference of the Council of State Administrators of Vocational Rehab. So it's those three items in the total $19,180. That's it.
Okay, thank you, Scott. Does anyone have any questions for Scott? Okay. Do we want to move on to the satisfaction survey report, Mary, or go back to membership?
We can do either one if you, you know, whichever you prefer. I'm not sure we're going to be getting. It looks like they're trying to call my cell phone, but yeah, I don't have the number to call them, so wait a few more minutes. It's too bad. Doesn't look like anybody else signed up. Why don't I go through the consumer satisfaction? We did get the full report from the last meeting. And I did send it to everyone, so everybody should have a copy. I can reset it if needed. It's a fairly long report, so what I'll do is I'll just kind of highlight some of the important, you know, notable things from the report. It was actually a very good report. 90% of our clients that were surveyed would recommend VR services to a friend, which was up from 2.5% from last year. Also, all eight services showed an increase from 2020. With transportation and higher education had the largest increase. Our most widely used service was rehabilitation technology and low vision services. The counselor satisfaction had mixed results. It increased in some areas and decreased in other areas. But the highest satisfaction for the counselors was regarding the referral process. And explaining, the VR services and the process for voc rehab. And the lowest was under the complaint resolution, which is our, CAPS or any type of mediation services if individuals are not happy with services. So that's pretty much the summary of the kind of the highlights of the consumer satisfaction. But overall, it was actually a very good report. So I don't know if anybody has any questions or, the other part that I did mention is, they also do the regional trends, which the category that went up, the region that went up the highest was the South Central and Southwest regions of the state, with the Eastern being the lowest. It kind of took a hit in the Eastern region. North Central was down slightly, and Eastern was down, and Northwest was kind of stabilized where it was at. So those were kind of some of the other highlights. It was definitely a lower sample size because of the pandemic than we've had in the past as well. So that was also a notable part of this survey, that it was definitely, a lower sample size than we've had in the past. So that's it. I'm not sure if anybody has any questions.
Yes, Philip for Mary.
Sure.
Hi, just want to confirm the 90% satisfaction rating. Those people polled or asked about to complete the survey, those are ones who were employed during that time period, or all the clients?
It's individuals who were employed, who were closed successfully out of the program. So individuals who were closed out And status 26.
Okay, it's just interesting because if I were employed, I'd be happy to. The program, I wondered if there's any way that a survey has been completed in the past for those who were not happy with the VR services. Is that something that's ever looked at?
Well, we normally, like, we've done needs assessments in the past, so that actually was the process to interview other individuals in the program. But this, for whatever reason, we've chosen the consumer satisfaction just to survey individuals who've gone through the whole process. So from the beginning of the process to the end. So that's, you know, I mean, something.
So someone's gone.
I'm not sure why.
Through the process, yeah.
Yeah,
and not completed the job. So that's, it feels a little skewed.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, maybe good suggestions, like individuals who are maybe, you know, unsuccessfully, you know, closed out, you know, like if there's like a way that we can find out what they were unhappy with regarding the services, but typically we don't tend to go back to the survey, because that would be...
I would strongly agree with Phil. I think that the most information would be gained from asking the people who are unhappy, because they're the people who are going to say, where are their areas for improvement? If we don't talk to them, then we're never going to be able to improve, because all we're going to talk to are the people that we're going to call successes.
Right.
Exactly, Mary. This is Deb Reed. I would wholeheartedly agree with everything that's been said. And, I mean, it just doesn't, it makes the Bureau look good, and I know they do good things, but we've got to keep track of people that are having issues and that are not having success. And, you know, I'm one of those people that was not successful with JAWS training from home, so, and I know there's many others.
Right. Yeah, it's something that we could talk about. I know that there's a work group for the consumer satisfaction, so maybe we can talk about that. I'm not sure, you know, why they chose this sample size. It's just kind of what we've done for so many years that, you know, if we did change the process, it's going to be hard to gauge whether we go up or not. It's going to, like, change the whole process. In the way that it works in voc rehab, is individuals who are not successful, you know, and closed out, like that would kind of skew our results as well, just because we are an employment program. So the whole goal and purpose is to employ, you know, to find employment for individuals. So it would probably make most sense to maybe get a population that are looking for employment that are going through the process, because if they're closed out unsuccessful, because they didn't want to work or something. You know, like typically we wouldn't close somebody out because they were having a hard time finding employment or they weren't satisfied with services. It's because they, you know, chose not to work, usually, is usually the reason behind, or maybe medical reasons, whatever the reason may be. A better population would be the active individuals who aren't necessarily employed yet, you know. So it's hard to, like, gauge what our numbers, because, you know, they wouldn't have...
Mary?
They didn't actively receive services. Yep.
So maybe one way to solve this would be, instead of looking at clients that are closed out, we look at the entire population, and we sample from everyone. And
right.
That would then give us success cases, that would give us people who left the program for either, you know, like you said, medical reasons or because they gave up. And it would also give us people who are still in the middle of the process.
Right.
I would agree with that, because then you could see that those people, say, who gave up because the training from home wasn't successful, then that would go into the thought that we need to do things differently and have more successful outcomes and find better ways.
You could also have people who leave the program because they found, I'll use employment because I have a case in mind, found employment through other means. That's not going to register as BSBY found this person employment, because that's not what ended up happening. They got it for themselves. But their input would still be valuable.
Mm-hmm. you know, those are good suggestions. We'll have to maybe bring it to Central. Maybe we can have the person who does our survey come and speak to us regarding the logistics about, you know, how we would go about doing that. You know, because, you know, there is also confidentiality issues regarding releases and different things. So, you know, we do need to notify everybody that they're being surveyed. So, and get a release. So every time we do surveys for individuals, they have to, you know, they have to sign the release, you know, to be able to speak to the consumer, you know, the person who would be calling them, and to give their information. So I don't know how they would do that logistically, but it's definitely a worth the conversation. We do have a memorandum of understanding already signed for this upcoming year, and I know that we've already started the process. So I don't know if it's something that would happen for next year. You know, so, you know, and again, like, I know that there was a work group, and it's unfortunately not something that was part of. So, and Brian's not here, so I can't necessarily give a full explanation as to what the decision making is regarding the sample.
Yeah, not sure we're looking for you to justify it at this point. I think mostly what we are trying to express is that, and I think at least several of us have said that we have reservations about the only showing our success cases and only surveying our success cases, especially, you know, having heard the financial report with the amount of resources and time that we put into this, we want it to be useful. And I'm not trying to put you over in a corner there, Mary.
Right.
But
no, it's okay. Not at all. I totally understand. I completely understand that. So.
And I think what folks are expressing is that this is maybe something that should be looked into fairly aggressively.
Right. Like maybe.
Hey, Mary.
Yeah.
Do we have the sample size or the size of the group that was
I believe it was around
30 from the survey, if I'm thinking.
Yeah, it was 30 from the survey, and in the past we've done, they've been doing it quarterly, so they do like the survey quarterly rather than once a year. So I know what we changed it last year, so they're actually calling a group every 3 months, you know, rather than once a year like they've done in the past. So I know she's already started the process for this year, so.
Okay, thank you.
So it's definitely, you know, the agreement's already kind of in place for this year. I do know that, but I definitely would be worth, you know, speaking with Diana from Central to see if we can have her come and talk about changing the process a bit. And again, I'd have to, like, you know, also see if I can figure out logistics, like regarding, you know, how we would capture and how we would do a sample size, you know, because a lot of it, like I said, like we do have right now probably about 800 individuals in voc rehab. So, you know, we'd have to pull from that, you know, so we'd have to have some sort of, you know, rhyme or reason, maybe statuses of, you know, status 18, that would mean that individuals are active in services. But again, we have to, you know, I would say probably the main reason we close people unsuccessfully is because we can't connect with them, that they're not calling us back, or they're not, you know, responding to, like, requests to say, like, we'd like to work with you, is there anything you need? So I do know that that population would be difficult to capture, is the unsuccessful individuals. So that would be my only reservation, like that, you know, because we don't close people very readily. We go through a lot of processes before we do. So the reasons behind closing people are not because they just, you know, couldn't find a job and they're going to go on their own, you know. So, you know, if you're going to get individuals who are not happy, or more accurate, I would say to survey individuals who are active in the process or working.
Which is fine, and certainly even a few hundred is significantly more than the 30 that were surveyed already.
Yeah, that's 5% of the whole population, and only that's why it's really skewed.
Right. So yeah, that's something that we could definitely talk with Diana about. I don't know, maybe Dawn, like we can have her come to the next meeting, or, you know, I know that there's a work group. If not, we can get a work group together to talk about this with Diana, you know, like as a separate meeting.
Mary, I think it'd be very helpful if you had somebody from Central come and we could talk to them, and then after that, you know, get our information, and maybe after that, form a work group on it.
That sounds like a good plan to me, because I know she came. She actually was here a year ago. Like, she did come and speak to us last September, you know, regarding, you know, before the MOU was signed. So before we sign another MOU, you know, it might be worthwhile to have her come in and talk about logistics. Like I said, for this year, we can do much. You know, I can talk with Amy about it, you know, offline as well. But I think we're kind of stuck in this year. We've already paid for the first installment of the survey, so I know it's in the.
So we're looking at next year then.
Yeah, it would be next year. It would be for fiscal year 2023.
Do you have access, or do you know if there is documentation of the criteria of the that the prior work group had put together?
I don't actually have that information, but I can see if I can find out. You know, we've done this. I know in the past that there was a work group, and we've talked about different organizations that you know, possibly can do it. So we did Central, and I know UConn did it 1 year. So we, like, a lot of the discussion has been around the vendor, not so much the way that we deliver the survey.
I recall a couple of those discussions last year when we were discussing possibly moving vendors, or if there was any gain from that.
Yeah,
I remember that too.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, like, you know, I've been here 20 years, and we've just done it this way. Not that I'm saying it's the right way, but it's just the way we've done it, like, forever, you know. So I'm not sure the rationale or what, but, like, I do know that it's just the way we've always done our survey is on individuals who are closed out in the program. So again, like, we'd have to change that, and I don't think it's necessarily a bad, you know, a problem, but it would take a little bit more discussion for sure.
Fortunately, we have time. If we're talking about doing this for 2023, there's plenty of time to do that preliminary work and set everything up ahead of time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we could definitely, I mean, because I know, like, it has, whatever the next MOU would be signed, we would have to, like, yeah, we would do that before we sign anything going forward. So probably as soon as possible, we can do some legwork behind the scenes, and then maybe for the next meeting, we could discuss it more, or even have Diana come to the meeting.
I think having Diana come would be excellent. Do we need to make a motion for that, Mary?
I don't believe so. Andrew's probably our best person for motion. I don't know that.
I don't think we have to vote on that, but we would have to vote for the changes.
Yes, definitely.
Yes, but, Madam President.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I Madam President, I don't know how to put this, but I believe that we should have some sort of motion so we have some action to move forward with, to either, you know, entertain, reevaluate the survey and the method. How would you like that to be approached? Rather than having it sitting here as a note and that we see next month. I'd like to take some action on this.